This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 41. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books and fantasy authors who write them. From epic fantasy to urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, and anything else you can think of in between, we try to cover it here on the show so that you can get a good look at what's going on in the various corners of the fantasy book world. Plus, we'll add in some other special guests we pick up along the way. First off, I've been kicking into launch mode this week. Book 2 of the Sapiens Run trilogy, Cyber's Escape, comes out this coming Friday. I'm very excited about this dystopian sci-fi series. The book continues with what book 1 did, which is exploring tough issues that have to do with cybernetics and humanity and other things. Book 1, Cyber's Change, is still selling pretty well, and I'm hopeful that the people who've read that book are looking forward to getting their hands on to Book 2, but you don't know until the book comes out. Such is the life of the indie author. We get to sweat the whole process of the publishing business, from the writing to the producing to the release of the books. Still, I wouldn't trade it for the world, and as always, I want to say thank you to all the readers out there who helped me give me a reason to tell my stories and make this my full-time job. I really appreciate it. You all are awesome. As always, if you want to find out more about what I'm up to or links to anything I've talked about here, as well as over at the podcast site, you can also follow me over on my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or over on my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and as always, you can just check in and leave me a message or anything else. I'd always try to get back to you as quickly as possible. All right, it's time to get into this week's episode interview. I was joined this time around by Brett Borisow. Brett is a sailor and maybe what some people might call sort of a vagabond. He's done all kinds of jobs, so many jobs, I can't really list them all here in the course of his life. And I think that really, that has probably been one of the things that's led to him having this life full of experiences that have all informed what goes on in his writing, and it helps him turn out amazing stories. So check out my interview with Brett. It was a lot of fun. You'll probably hear that in the way we just kind of laugh and joke with each other in the course of the chat in this podcast, but get it. It's coming right up next. Hi, Brett. It's great to have you here on the show today, and I just want to welcome you to the Books and Authors Fantasy Focus Podcast. Why don't you take a few seconds or minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I started writing probably later in life than most people, in my late 30s. I started a newspaper called the St. Louis Spectre, and kind of did it just to get some ads. And it really dawned on me that, hey, you're going to have to write. So long story short, I had a continuing feature called Lamp Down Little Theater. And I had a lady that had done a really good job doing the serial. And about the second serial in, she pretty well got put in the loony bin. So it was up to me to finish that off, and then after that, I started my own series, and that's kind of how I started writing.
That's awesome. I'm sorry for her, but good for you.
God love her. She's a sweet lady, and she did a great job writing. It was, I was pretty tickled. I wrote the last, it was kind of a 10 installment feature, and I wrote the last two of it per her notes, and no one threw rocks at me. So I thought, well, maybe I did a good job. And that's kind of how I started my own thing.
Yeah, not having to dodge rocks is a good way to get started. So
it's always good, brother. It's always good.
Yeah. So and don't worry about starting late. I didn't start writing fiction until probably my mid 40s. So it's never too late. That's my mantra.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
So you've had quite a storied like life behind this starting writing thing, where you've been in the Navy, you've traveled, you've worked in an assortment of crazy jobs. And I think it shows because I just started reading the book, and I'm really loving Prince of Nocnafay. And I get a sense that maybe based upon what I've read about your background, that Tavers McCracken is maybe an alter ego.
Every person in every person in my story is an alter ego. I'm fond to say. I appreciate you saying that, and I do feel a kinship to Travers, obviously. You know, I was at 17, I ran away, I joined the Carnival. I did that for a few years, then I went into the Navy, and we went to 14 different countries. So I'm well-traveled, and I love adventure, and this was just kind of a way to, oh, I don't know how to put it, get that out there. With just a little bit of flair, I guess you'd say. So I appreciate you saying that. And that there's a little bit of truth to that for sure.
Well, and Tavers McCracken is such a fun character. You introduce him in the description for the book as an immortal Irish highwayman. And I'm going to ask you some more about the immortal part, because that's a very interesting part of the story. But you know, what settled you on the idea of an Irish highwayman? I mean, Bourceau's not an Irish surname.
No, it's not. It's French, actually. And my original concept with Tavers was Tavers Valentine. And actually, I had a really, really good friend of mine from high school that had a deep Irish heritage. And we were really good friends, and we had a big talk. And it just seemed like the Celtic mythology really lent itself more to Tavers than what I'd originally anticipated. And that's kind of where that came out. My mom's McDonald, McNabb, they've all got that Celtic thing going. And who doesn't love the Irish? I mean, that's kind of why this all kind of worked out the way it did. So that's kind of the explanation I've got for that, I guess.
No, that's okay. And you know, you're right. I mean, I think everybody kind of pictures that, you know, mischievous Irishman, right?
Who's, absolutely.
Who's, you know, a bit of a scamp or a scandalous individual. I know the way you introduce him in the book is hilarious. You know, he's making his way through a Sultan's harem on the sly. That's just great, and creates just a great image of what kind of person he is right off the bat.
You know, my biggest thing I always brag on Tavers about is his greatest fortune is his friends. He's a good person. He does a lot of crazy adventures, and he's got a wonderful group of friends to help him through it. And isn't that what we all want?
I think that's very true. I forget who said it, but something to the effect of the measure of a man is taken in his friends.
Absolutely, and
I think that's true. It's those people who sit there and wonder who would show up for my funeral if I were to keel over today. I think it's a measure of the person when people miss them or know they need help and come to their aid. And so it's great to hear you say that. So did you come up with the character first, or did you kind of have an idea for the story itself and then kind of the character evolved from that?
You know, I wish I had a wonderful answer for you. I think I thought of the character first in the fact there's the Errol Flynns and the Tyrone Powers and these people that, were bigger than life. They were rogues, but it seemed like they never took it to that next level. And with Tavers, I take it to that next level. And I don't even know where to go with this. I'm so bored with this character. All the things I ever wanted out of something that I've read or something I've seen in a movie, it seemed like it always fell short of that. And with Tavers, I try to make it go beyond that. And that's the best answer I've gotten.
No, and you know, it's funny you mentioned Errol Flynn and Tyrone Powers. I really envisioned that whole swashbuckling, the Sinbad adventures, the Errol Flynn pirate adventures, you know, all of those swashbuckler tales just really leapt to mind.
I have done my job.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw that immediately. That. So,
My big joke is if this would ever get in big screen, I hope they do it in Technicolor because I sure envisioned it in Technicolor.
I think you're actually going to be making a movie at the right time for that because I don't think they make movies in black and white anymore. So I think you're good to go.
There you go.
You know, it's interesting. Just the way he like laments the fact that he has to like break a bottle of good whiskey over the guard's head.
Right,
he's trying to pull his knickers on.
Right. Well, you know, to be truthful with you, I have an alcoholic background and I really understand that lament. I love voluptuous women and I can see where you would make that trade. So, you know, it's kind of worked out for me. I've lived a very adventurous life, and it's easy for me to write this because I would make that trade gladly. But sometimes I'd be like, no, and that's kind of what happened with Travers. So I appreciate you catching on to that.
Oh, definitely. In fact, you know, I was looking at your website, and you actually have some kind of the Book in the Bottle project that I saw linked there, where you can actually order a bottle of spirits and get a copy of the book on a thumb drive at the same time.
I'm so glad you mentioned this. This is something I just really want to tout. It's a wonderful, wonderful project. Mountain Dragon Masonry is the people that are doing the, are helping me with this. They actually brew a wonderful mead, which I don't know how far you've gotten the book, but the Krakens are renowned mead makers. So Tom, who's the guy that runs the meadery, he's made a special mead just for Travers McCracken. And when you order the mead through them, you actually get a cork that has a flash drive in it. It tells you the entire story through the verbiage, and it also does an audio book with a man named Nelson, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful Nelson Piles is his name, and he does a great, great, great job doing the you can go to my website. It's knock, like knock on wood, K-N-O-C-K, knocknafay.com. And it'll send you a link to get the audio book where you also get the bottle of mead, or it'll take you to Amazon where you can get the book itself.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's funny. I'm not a drinker anymore, but I would, you know, I'm tempted to order it just to get the cool thumb drive and have everything there. It's just it's really a great marketing idea. And, you know, I would imagine that fans would jump on the opportunity to take you up on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got some wonderful advice a couple of years before I wrote the Prince of Not in the Fae. And the fellow that gave me this advice says, you need to start touting this book before it comes to fruition. And I did. And I got a hold of Tom, who ended up doing the Book in a Bottle thing for me. And of course, Nelson, which, actually was the person that did the narration, and of course doing the book itself. But I gotta say, we ended up selling 1800 copies of the book and the audio book, with the Book in a Bottle, before we ever went on Amazon. That's pretty well all through Facebook. And I definitely got to give a shout out to a lady called Granny Goodwitch. She really got a hold of my book and touted it to a bunch of her friends. And it's just been a wonderful experience for me.
Well, it's just a great idea. As you know, as an author myself, I'm always looking for ways to like cross promote and think of ways to, you know, clever ways to do things. I don't think I've ever seen anyone else do anything like this. And it's just such a special thing. And goodness gracious, 1800 copies of the book with the Book in the Bottle is just amazing.
Well, Jamie, I appreciate you saying that. I really sound kind of, you know, I feel weird even saying it out loud because it seems odd to me as well. It just kind of took off. And I really think what's helped the book out a lot is I'm 55 years old. I waited till I was in my 40s to start to write in earnest. And I'm probably more influenced by old movies and children's literature and older classics than I am actual fantasy of the 20th century or 21st century or what have you. It's funny. I've got a friend of mine who's doing a little PR for me, and he'll mention that he's working with such and such, and I have no clue who they are. If they were written past 1940, I probably don't know who they are, and I'm kind of kidding around with that. But I think that's what makes Travers different is I'm not basing it on urban fantasy or the Tolkien novels or blah, blah, blah. It's just something that's kind of coming out of my head through different things that I've experienced.
It's interesting. I wrote a series all of them are start with the word accidental. So I call it my accidental series. And there's two trilogies.
Nice.
And, you know, first trilogy is about a guy who visits this world through a video game he plays and ends up in this other world with the typical fantasy, medieval fantasy setting. And he comes back and finally makes his way back home. And I wanted to revisit the world, but I didn't want to go back into the traditional setting. And I, you know, my love of all of those old pirate movies, the Errol Flynn movies, right. All of those swashbucklers, the Three Musketeers with Alan Hale. I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, I know them well.
And it's just all of those great movies came to mind. And I decided to bump the world forward 100 years and have the main character's daughter revisit the world in a time differential. And she shows up, you know, 16 years later when she's grown up, and she ends up having this great swashbuckling pirate adventure that went on the second trilogy. And I had more fun writing those books. And I don't think there's many people writing stories like that out there. And that's one of the reasons I love Travis McCracken so much. Was just Travers McCracken so much was that it was, you know, just brought me right back to that feeling.
Thank you so much. And I feel the same. I'm dying to check out your work because it's not being done anymore. And it's definitely, it's something that I think that people love. It's just a revisit to that time period.
Now, how did you find Nelson Piles? Did you audition a bunch of different people, or did you find
Nelson
him?
Was a wonderful guy. It's kind of funny. I had struck up a friendship with him on Facebook, and I can't remember. There was something that was said between us, and it just kind of clicked, and he was the guy for me. And he's done a wonderful job doing the audio version of it, and he does wonderful with everything he does. So I'm very happy to have him a part of the Not Buffet novel.
Now, is the audiobook available like in other stores like Audible or places like that?
You know, it's at this point, it's just available through Mountain Dragon Masonry, which does, you know, they actually have the mead in it. There was a long period where I was doing it as kind of a message in a bottle kind of thing with no alcohol, but I don't know. I just like it better doing it the way I'm doing it.
No, and actually, I'm serious. I'm actually like seriously considering just going and getting it, even though I have the book already. But
you really need it
because
really
I'll give the, I'll give the mead to my son.
Guy.
He'll drink it, and
And I'm a recovering alcoholic myself, and I don't want to get into all of that, but I respect the fact that you don't drink anymore, but I don't even want to get into it. There's a power to drink and drug, and it's all through the Not Nafane novels. There's a sinisterness to it. There's a wonderfulness to it, and that's all plays out in the, like I said, in the whole Not the Faith thing. So
excellent.
I'm sure
it's important. It's important to put a part of yourself in your books and to write something that's genuine. And I think that it's important to include things like that. I mean, you know, I had I had surgery a while back to lose weight, and part of that weight loss surgery is you can't drink alcohol anymore, which is not something that like killed me, so it wasn't like a big deal for me to do that. But you know, everybody has their reasons, and my sisters are recovering as well and dealing with that challenge for the last 20 odd years, and you know, I just somehow dodged that bullet, but I still ended up not drinking in the end.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, brother. I didn't dodge it. I took it head on. But I absolutely draw from a lot of that stuff to do the writing that I do. And you know, one of my things I kind of think about is I think most people that write heroic fantasy, this is kind of a generalization. I don't mean to be rude, but I think a lot of these people are 40-year-olds that live in their mother's basement. You know, I've got out into the world. I've been to 14 different countries. I was carning when I was a kid. I've enjoyed my life. I've got out there and I've seen things, and I've tried to, you know, take that knowledge and put it into what I've read, what I've seen, and of course what I write. And, you know, I hope it shines through.
It definitely does. Definitely does. So let's talk about what you're working on. And, you know, you got some other things. I noticed that there's a upcoming section on your website, and it says something about Aubrey's End, a Nock na Fé novel. So is there's another book coming out?
There is. My strategy is this, Jamie. Are you ready? The Travers thing's my calling card. The Travers McCracken tales are something that I just absolutely love to do. I could write them forever. Aubrey's End, I feel, is my opus. It's actually a tale of two sisters that own a boarding house, the Moncaster sisters. And there's definitely a magic going on, but it's very understated. And it does feed into the Nock na Fé novels, but it's nothing that's just right into your face. And I'm having such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time writing them. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, all the Nock na Fé series up to that point, I'm producing and publishing myself through Bonafide Outlaw Free Press. But I'm really hoping that that I can track a major publisher to take a good look at the Aubrey's End series, because it's near and dear to my heart. I think there's a lot to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to write. So I don't know what more to say.
No, that's okay. And so I'm curious then, are there more Travers McCracken stories out there than the first one?
Oh, without a doubt. I hate to tell you this, but when you get to the Prince of Nock na Fé, you get to the end, you have read half a book. It's 60,000 words, and it's just a lot of people off. There's another 60,000 words to end that book, and there's actually another 200 to catapult it into a third book. That's all something I'm working on, dying to do, just kind of worked out the way it is. But, you know, I need people to realize that Travers McCracken's alive and well and working, so I can kind of keep the rest of it rolling on. And I'm really counting on this guy working with you and a few other people to make that happen.
Well, excellent. So you've got more Travers on the way then?
Oh my God, son, I've got more chapters written. I just kind of quit at half a book, because the truth of the matter is I do all the illustrations myself. At half a book, brother, I mean, that's all I could do to publish this thing, get it out. It's in the format of a storybook, much as when you're a child, you read a storybook. And anyway, I just had to stop at 60,000 words in order to actually publish the thing so people could afford to buy it, if you want to know the truth.
No, so, yes, makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm a lot of fun with it, Jamie. Having a lot of fun with it.
Excellent. So how do you like, you know, when you obviously have some dedicated fans, you've got a lot of people that are following you on your Facebook page, which is the, what's the name of your Facebook page? I had it here.
It is
the Bonnie Knocker Brigade.
Fine. I appreciate you. It's called the Bonnie Knocker Brigade. And, the title of that will make a lot of sense when you read the second book. But basically, it started with a bunch of fans of mine who started, you know, just putting excerpts from my book in there, and people would come back and this, that, and that thing. And then obviously fantasy art's a big part of what I do. So people started, you know, doing fantasy art. And I got a bunch of people that were Bonnie Knocker Brigaders who were wonderful writers, and they started touting their writing. So, you know, it's a fan page for my writing, but the truth of the matter is it's a showcase for other people's stuff. You know, we shine the best when we shine on others, I think, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a great believer of rising tide lifts all boats. And honestly,
oh, I love that. I've heard that many times. Say that again. I love that.
The rising tide lifts all boats. And it's because, you know, we all are in this together, and we can't possibly write enough books to satisfy the readers out there. And so it's important, I think, to team up with other authors and share each other's work and do all those things, because they're waiting for our next book. In the meantime, let's show them some other good stuff.
Well, JB, please, if you haven't already, become a Bonnie Knocker, because that's exactly what I want to do. You know, the truth of the matter is, money, I think most people get into writing because they want to make money. And I want and become a writer because you don't want to be read. One of the biggest Freudian slips I ever said was, I was doing an interview and somebody said, you know, why are you doing this? And I meant to say for, hang on, give me a minute. I meant to say for immortality, but I said for immorality. But it was so much closer to the truth. If you've ever read my writing, I just didn't correct myself.
That's great.
But anyway, yeah, I love the way you think, and I feel the same way. I mean, we should all share each other's stuff. You know, I'm not into this to make money. I'm into this to be read. And hopefully if you feel the front of the shovel, the back of the shovel will fill itself up.
I agree with you. I'm in it for both, but I do write the stories that I want to read. And that's my goal, is to just keep telling
Isn't
good
that
stories.
The truth? I don't mean to cut in here, but I just was answering a question on a writer's forum that I'm in. It says, how many times have you read your own book? And many people are going, oh, once or twice, or, oh, I'm scared to read it after I've read it. And I've read it thousands of times on my favorite freaking author.
You
know? I don't mean it like I think I'm all at the biscuit. I just mean it to say that, don't you write what you want to read? Why would you write anything else? You know,
no, you gotta do that. And if you're not passionate about it, if you don't have that passion, I think it comes through in the story, and it will come off it will come off as flat and unemotional. And you need to do that.
I believe you're right.
So as we wrap up here, Brett, why don't you tell folks how they can best reach out to you, where they can find you online, and what you'd like to leave them with as a reason to go out there and read your book.
Well, Jamie, I appreciate you offering me that opportunity. The biggest thing you can do for me is to get on Amazon and look up The Prince of Knocknafe. It's K-N-O-C-K, like a knock, N-A-F-A. The Prince of Knocknafe, leave a review. That would be just wonderful of you. If you cannot afford my book, it's, $4.95, you know, for the ebook. I think it's 22 something for the actual physical book. You can find it on sale for 14, blah, blah, blah. If you cannot afford my book, look me up on Facebook. My name is Brett, B-R-E-T, Bourseau, B-O-U-R-I-S-E-A-U. I will send you a PDF in a personal message free if you would like to read my book. All I'm asking you to do is go to Amazon and leave a review. And that's what I got. I do want to say this much. I wish I had the direct link to the audio book, but if you'll go to knocknafe.com, and again, it's K-N-O-C-K NAFAY.com. It will send you a link to a Mountain Dragon Masonry, and they are makers of mead, and they do carry the book and the audio, and you get a bottle of mead to go along with it, which I think is wonderful. That's what I got, Jamie.
Oh, that's excellent. And actually, I'm going to put links to all that in the show notes for this episode, so everybody can head over to fantasy-focus.com, check out the podcast tab at the top, find this episode, and you'll find the links to all of those things that Brett just talked about. And let's give Brett some love and read his books. I got to say, I'm having a bundle of fun reading them, reading the book right now. And if you're looking for a good time and a little bit of laughter and a lot of action, you can't go wrong. So Brett, thanks for coming on the show.
You're a wonderful guy, and I appreciate you helping me out.
And that will wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of the episodes, you want to make sure you're following up with us online and getting the show over at the fantasy-focus.com website. There's a podcast tab at the top of the page. Click that, and it'll take you to all of the podcast episodes listed in order. You can click and find this episode, and there's a subscription link on every single page. Also, on the website, on each podcast episode, you'll also find links to the Fantasy Focus group over on Facebook, which you can find. And I urge you to join that group over there. It's a great community of readers and authors who all enjoy fantasy books. And there's all kinds of cool stuff going on over there, so check it out. Also, make sure you catch the next episode. I'm really excited because we had the awesome Faith McKinstry on the next episode, and she comes on to talk about her books, and I really enjoyed chatting with her. So that's coming up in the next episode to come. That's it, though, for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I want to just thank you and remind you I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'm the author of what I like to call Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books, or at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. And if you're interested in getting a free book, you can just sign up for my newsletter over there, and it'll send you the download link right away. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I want to remind you to keep your eyes open, because you know what, folks? There's magic all around you.